Hey there, do make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And with that out of the way, let's get these.
Welcome to the Math and Joke for Me podcast. Coming up in this week's episode.
Then I turn and I see this tall girl,
You make it sound like I was a strangled chicken.
Fault, it's not yours.
I know, right? It's their fault.
Yeah.
They should come and read it in my head make me the best friend ever, right? And when I started writing articles, I didn't just want to write articles on anything, like just write. I wanted to write in a way to help someone else.
And now, your host, Fumi Lola.
Okay. Thank you, future Fumi. And I want to welcome you guys to this month's edition of the Spicy Talk. What is Spicy Talk, you ask? Well, the Spicy Talks is a segment of the Math Ejokwami podcast where we explore the stories and perspectives of individuals who inspire and fascinate us. From entrepreneurs to artists, activists to creatives, you know what, basically you name it, we'll delve into their unique journeys and uncover the lessons they've learned along the way. So don't be shy to join us as we gain insight and inspiration from some of the most interesting and accomplished people of our time. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this week's guest is somebody spicy. You know, somebody hot, somebody super talented. Super, you know, I don't even know how best to describe this person. Let me just let the person describe themselves, because, you know. Good evening, first of all. Yeah, welcome to the show. Introduce yourself.
I thought you were going to introduce me, like, you know, specially. How can you be asking me to introduce
myself? Oh, okay.
Is that how you do this thing?
Okay, no. The thing here is that. Okay. The thing is that, okay, you know, let me allow you to talk.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Jose Andrea. I am a writer and a part-time teacher. I've been writing for as long as I can remember, and I mostly write fiction, short stories, poetry, and I just try to be a good person as much as I can. I think that pretty much sums me up.
Okay. Everybody, round of applause. Yeah, so before we even go on, I want to tell, permit me, to tell the story of how we met. Because it's very interesting. Let me quickly. I'll try to be quick. So we met at camp, and during NYC. And if you don't know what NYC is, it's basically, how do you describe NYC?
It's a one year service, like an all graduate have to do after school. They call it voluntary, but there's nothing voluntary about it. It's in Nigeria, in quotes.
yeah. So basically that's the best way. It's sort of like you're not part of the military. It's not military, but it's like low-key, like, you're forced to work for the government.
A paramilitary.
Yeah, you're forced to basically work for the government for a year. Yeah. So, before you go on, you go to this orientation camp, blah, blah, blah. So, camp, we're to resume Tuesday, or start resuming by Tuesday, but I got there on Thursday, so I got there not too late, although they told me to resume. That's when I was told to resume, yeah. I got to camp in the evening or afternoon, whatever. Around, I think, 4 o'clock or something. That's how they start calling everybody for parade or whatever. I mean, I was like, okay, I just got here.
That's all right.
I'm not finished packing. So the soldiers were like, okay, do your thing. Don't worry. You join the next parade or whatever, So I missed parade that evening. But then the next morning, I was forced in the cold. To go for parade, and I was at parade. They were doing their whole whatever. I was annoyed. I was cold. I was like, what is all this? Why am I marching? And next thing,
you're always cold for me. You are always cold every morning.
Wait, I'm a bush boy. I'm not used to the cold. But anyway, this is where it gets interesting. So, all of a sudden, I just hear somebody from somewhere just shout, rah, rah, eh? And I'm like, what's going on? Then I turn and I see this tall girl.
You make it sound like I was in a strangled chicken.
No. That's not like that. I see this tall, like, this good looking glasses. You wear glasses, you wore your cap, and you had your khaki boots. And bear in mind, nobody was wearing khaki boots. All of us were wearing white, whatever. This person was wearing khaki boots and then just stood in attention and they're just shouting. I don't remember what you were saying. All of a sudden, the next thing I know is that the entire parade ground is like everybody's just standing in one place. Everybody's like, I said, what's going on here? Me too. And I'm telling you, even the soldiers, all of them were like, hey, it's you, keep quiet, can't you hear that? I was like, wait, is she a soldier? Even if she's a soldier, even our commander is listening to her.
Okay, wait. See, now, so that they don't all say that I was some military person, I was just quarter guard commander. That was just it for me. Don't make it sound like I was giving instructions to everybody on camp. See,
but I didn't know that. But to me, after that day, I was like, wow. This is a powerful person in this camp that, wow. Do you understand that? Okay. Right. And I look at you, yeah. Then after the whole, whatever happened, what used to happen? Is that we used to sing national anthem? I don't know. I can't remember, honestly.
I can't remember the exact term we used for it, but like, that was still like the dropping of the flag and then the national anthem too.
Yeah. So after all of that, I just looked and I noticed you and some other ladies, all of you were wearing khaki boots, and I was like, from all these people, she must be in, like, part of the military. Maybe she's like soldier in training or something. Yeah. But then they're like, okay, everybody go to your platoon. And I just see you come to the platoon. I was like, maybe she's the soldier in charge of her platoon or whatever. I didn't think much. The next thing, the evening, same thing happened in the evening again. Time for getting got one time. Everybody. Okay, here we go again. So after those two encounters, in my mind, I was like, okay, this is a soldier or something. But I couldn't understand how a soldier wearing white like me is telling all these other soldiers. It didn't make sense in my head, but I was like, okay. Days go by, then I would see you. I would see you alongside other coppers doing copper things, and I was like, this thing does not make sense. But I didn't think too much of it until I think the welcome party or something on Saturday or so.
It was the welcome party.
Yeah. Everybody was in the hall, and everybody was doing party. Then I look at this soldier woman, reading on her phone, and I was like, what is going on here? Like, everybody's trying to party on stage. People were shaking bum bum. Everybody was shouting, and you're just there. Your eyes were just on your screen, and I was like, okay. I don't remember what exactly I did, but
pester me. You came to disturb me.
No, that's what I think we had a. No. We're having an intelligent conversation about what you're reading. There's something.
No. You came first and you tested me. So like, I think about twice. And then before you finally asked, you know what? I'm not going to leave. But I think what you said. You said, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to keep on disturbing you until you answer me. And I was like, okay.
Is that what I said?
Fine. Yes, that was what you said.
And you're sure I did not ask anything relating to the economy or...
What economy? What economy?
We had a complex from what I remember we had a complex discussion. Do you understand? We're trading ideas back and forth on the book.
Ideas on what? It was a party. The very first thing you asked was, how is it that everyone is partying and I'm reading?
Yes, yes, I still remember that.
How is that everyone is dancing and I am reading? That was the very first thing you asked me. And I was like, because I don't feel like dancing and everybody has to be here. And
should,
you're
I,
like,
should I?
Okay.
Should
and
I tell you why I asked that first? Should I tell you why
okay,
I asked
I'm
that
listening.
First? Because I thought you were like a soldier, so I was like, you know what? Maybe she's reading. They are briefing her on the mission tomorrow.
What mission? Oh my God.
I was like, I should just,
wow.
You know, if I throw that in, and it's like, you're just like, okay. Because I was expecting, I was like, hey, it's you, soldier, hey, it's, yeah, get him out of here. But anyhow,
wow.
That's it, child. That's basically how we met. First time we had a conversation, it was about you reading, and I don't know, the book had like 20,000 pages or whatever, child. This. Let's.
I can't remember the series now, but yeah. And you were like, how long was it going to take you to finish it? And I said, a couple of days, and you're like, impossible.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I don't still believe people can read that much. I feel like people just skip. You just wake up and just scroll past and be like, oh, I finished the book. But, anyways, let's. We have a lot to discuss. So. Let's go on. I'm a big fan of your work, and I've for the longest time wanted to sit down and have a discussion about your story, your journey and all. So let's just start at the very top. Let's start from your Kilomanku, your journey, your early, how did you get into
it? You remember I'm not Yoruba, Sha, so in other things you're going to be adding to the explaining it.
My favorite family, let's
So if I did not learn any other thing, I learned that one.
it's funny how people would not understand how long I've been saying this one for your time. But anyways, let's go on. Let's start from the beginning, your early writing journey. Let's discuss how you got into writing. What led you to pursue this passion or pursue it as a career? Yeah.
My first thought goes to my mom. She used to bring a lot. She was a teacher. She's retired now. She used to bring home a lot of books, you know,
okay.
Like every chance she could get. Especially when she found out that I really loved books, she used to bring home a lot of books. And I would always like read them. And eventually I started getting my own ideas in quotes.
Okay.
And she would, whenever I would like try to tell her stories, she would ask me to write them down. I remember the very first story I wrote, she took it and said she wanted to give it to her English teacher who for bread and sent back to me for that. Fast forward a couple of years, I just kept doing that like by the side. If I had anything in my head, I was just writing down. I never really saw like the light of day or anything.
Yeah.
A couple of years I was in shape, started writing like short poetry pieces. I did not like poetry. Funny enough, I did not like poetry.
Okay.
So I did not call them poems. I called them write-ups. So I started doing these little write-ups and uploading them on my WhatsApp status. And then a friend of mine, Christy, she said that they were really good and I should actually consider, you know, writing them on a larger scale, like writing them and actually putting them out.
Okay.
I think she's the one person that I would actually say inspired me or like motivated me to publicize my writing, like to put it out for the public instead of just like keeping it, the writing in notes for myself. She was the one who like pushed me to actually publicize my writing.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. That ability to sit down and put words together that can convey emotions, convey ideas, convey thoughts to another person, and that person can relate with it as if it's their, even if it's not something they are familiar with or whatever, they can still relate to it. I'm like, it creates that ability to create a connection with what, because it's not just writing, it's writing and being able to pass a message. And I think that's what separates writers as yourself from people like me. Anyways, by the way, I feel like you're just trying to be humble about the whole poetry stuff. because I remember reading one of your work, like one poem you wrote. It was something about, I don't really remember the entire content, but it was, there you go, everything something you say you'll never, or something like, I'll play the poem.
Oh, yeah.
Because I still have it. It's sweet, simple, sweet. Yeah. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I'll play it so you guys can see that. She's just trying to be humble. She's good at poetry or whatever.
If there's anything I've learned, it's to control how I use the word never. Because it seems like the moment you say you'll never do something, the universe sets you up. And there you go. Evering what you said you'd never.
But okay. Let's move on. Let's move on to, and talk about your writing style. Because like I said, one thing that distinguishes writers or people like yourself who are good with words is, like I said, the ability to convey emotions or basically just tell a story that connects, that people can connect with. For example, I do this whole podcasting thing or whatever, and I think anybody that creates content at the end of the day wants to tell a story. You have something and you want to present it to somebody else. Yeah, I personally struggle with this. I have ideas and I don't know how to pass it on. So that's what I want to ask you, as a writer, as yourself, how is your writing process? How do you come up with ideas? How do you structure your stories, your characters, and all of that? What's the process like for you?
For most of my poems, it either comes from what I'm feeling at the moment, my memories, or what I see happening. Like, there's a poem I'm working on right now, and it's about weed. And it's like,
it's about weed.
There's someone on the timeline. I can't really consider her my friend, so I'm just gonna... Grief! Oh my god! Grief! Like, loss,
okay,
and grief,
okay,
and mourning.
I know, I was just
so teasing. There's a girl on my WhatsApp list.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a girl on my WhatsApp list who recently lost her mom. And you know, I see her WhatsApp updates all the time, and like it triggers me to remember, like, I have a friend, a very close friend, who lost her mom last year. I have another acquaintance who lost his mom last year. So all of that, I just, like, it's my base for writing this poem I'm working on right now. Now, sometimes I could go like weeks without writing anything. Okay. Not necessarily because I don't like know what I want to write, but because I've not found the right way to put it out. Like, I've not found the right words to express how I'm feeling. Okay. And another thing is, when it comes to like my own emotions, I find that me having to write it down or having to put it out in poem form usually helps me go through that process. So in my articles that's on my Medium, on my blog, it has to do with what I'm feeling in that moment. And I start to imagine, if I'm feeling this, it means someone else is out there also feeling the same thing. Now, how do I make myself feel better? What are the things I would like to do? What are the things I know would work in this situation that would also help that person, but I would also, you know, help this person go through this emotion, something that this person can relate to. That's pretty much it, am I right?
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Speaking about finding the right words here, I have a bone to pick.
Okay.
I have a bone to pick with you and your fellow writers, yeah?
Okay.
Why? It's a simple question, yeah? Why? You writers, why do you do this? Why do you always use big words?
Oh,
this thing, it annoys me. Yeah, I'm reading, and next thing, I'm trying to read, and next thing, I'm seeing, oh, I don't know, I can't even think of any big word now. Maybe industrialized is not a big word, but I can't think of one now. And it's like, why would you just throw in that big word? Then I now have to stop while I'm reading, check the dictionary, and I'm like, what does this mean? And they were like, oh, another word for, let's say, jump. And I'm like, why didn't you just use jump? Why are you stressing me?
Yes.
Okay, so we have talked about your writing style and how you formulate ideas and all of that. A lot of things stand out when I read your work, or if anybody reads your work. One of those things is how relatable your writing is. And I feel the ability to... I've said this several times, like the ability to write something that a wide array of people can connect to. I feel that's an elite writing skill. Do you understand? So that's what I just want to ask, that are you able to write or tell stories that have this like personal touch to it? It feels like you're telling your story, and it feels like you're telling my story. It feels like you're telling everybody's story, basically. How are you able to develop that?
Since school, actually, as in university, since when I had to battle my own mental health thing, you know, I tried to be there for people. And when I started writing articles, I didn't just want to write articles on anything, like just write. I wanted to write in a way to help someone else. Even if, like, I want to write in a way that you say, that tells the other person, I see you, I understand what you're going through, and even though none of this makes sense, and I cannot even give you the answers you're looking for, I just want to let you know you're not alone. I do this because I feel if I had heard something like that, or with the few points that I read that where I could, you know, have that connection, it helped me. So it's like an extension. I read from someone else and I try to, you know, give that same gift onto another person. I don't know, maybe it's the way I talk to people that is relating into my writing, because I've had a lot of times, not just for article writing now, because now I actually write on the side, that I write in a conversational manner. But I think like that's the best, or that's like simplest way to write. I mean, write in a way that the other person understands, or the other person can relate to. It's why I do not really like writing poems in rhymes. Like, why do I have to rhyme it? Why do I have to start looking for a word that ends with blood, so that it's not just blood and, you know, things like that? So I try to just, you know, let me pass the message. Yes, I will not write it in a direct way, because I mean, it's poetry, but then you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm trying to say without having to unravel mysteries.
Yeah, I agree. I remember there's this one of your write-ups, like you called them. I think the title is On Theft, Anger, and the You Know Go Better For You Kind of Swear. I'm telling you, that's one of my favorites. That's one of my favorites.
Okay.
See, I've had a similar experience where I got robbed, and as I was reading it, and I was like, the attention, the level of detail you put into it, the attention to, you know, those little things. Like, I remember when you said this, there is this part, sorry, permit me to quickly read it.
Alright.
You are awakened by the sound of your housemate. Let's call him A, entering the house and calling. By the way, I suck at reading this, so I'm sure you'd be there like, oh, no, that's not how you should read it.
I think I'm on it right now, so I should be able to, like, find where you are.
You are awakened by the sound of your housemate. Let's call him A, entering the house and calling your name. You didn't go to work. My wallet was stolen. I did not have money for transport. Only after saying this, do you understand?
Sorry, but you don't worry.
Okay, I will read.
You are awakened by the sound of your house. Let's call him A. Entering the house and calling your name. You did not go to work. My wallet was stolen and I didn't have money for transport. Only after saying this, do you understand what you've said? What has happened to you? Like an obedient student at a recital, your brain lists all the things gone with the wallet. ATM cards, ID cards, hospital cards, and of course, money. Money. Okay, I don't know if that's what you want me to stop.
No, go on.
Okay. Then you feel the anger bubble up like a mystical legend arousing from slumber, and you express it the only way you have taught yourself: tears. A tries to console you. He goes around the house to do what you already did. You go with him, not mentioning you did this before. All your original thoughts before your nap do not seem so far away anymore. They are real. They have been confirmed by an external source. It gives room for the dread to grow. The dread of a dreadful process of blocking your ATM card and getting new ones.
Oh my god.
Court and police station problems that are bound with getting new ID cards. More tears stream down your face.
You see that.
You have many wishes.
Yeah, no. You can stop. You can stop. Wait. You can't stop. We could go on and on and all read right, the entire right. Thing. Yeah. You see that part where you wrote that you start to remember the dreadful process of doing all of this, all of that. I remember my phone was stolen like a couple of years ago, and I'm telling you, this what you just wrote here, what we just read, it's like that's what happened. Like, it's like you were there when all of this happened, and that, especially the part where you go around your house, because I remember like my thief like tore my net like on my window. So anytime anybody was visiting me, they'll be like, let me see the place. And then would not start going around, and I'll just be there like, I didn't notice this. Because my landlord came and was like, you see, this is where he put his leg. And you see that? I was like, oh my God. I'd seen all of that, but I was just pretending. And I'm, see, no. You guys should go and check out our work. That's what I'm talking about. That really, ability to connect. I'm sure everybody here that they have had something stolen. If you read that article, if you've been robbed, which if you live in Nigeria, it's not that. Okay, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Just kidding.
I'm joking. But that's what I'm talking about. That relatability. Let's go on. Let's talk about another aspect of your writing that I find fascinating. It's how vulnerable you get at times. It's how vulnerable you get. And this is something that I personally want to do. You know, it's one thing I'm envious. It's something I wish I could do more. I wish I could be more vulnerable. Because I remember somebody recently texted me, somebody like a fan of this show, was like, why is it that sometimes we don't get the person said like the real you, that like all the time you're always high energy, high, and you're always laughing, all that. And I'm like, see, there are a lot of times I feel so down. I don't feel like recording, and I wish I could be express that. But you know, you have to just call me and pretend that like, oh, everything is all rosy. That's one aspect in your writing that anytime I read, I enjoy. It's how vulnerable you get when you write. You've written about some touchy subjects, like, which I would love to even discuss some of them. You understand, like written on validation, depression, yeah. And you get really personal. Like, you open up yourself. That, like, okay, this is my story. Every part. How do you allow yourself?
Okay. Open up. I don't think it's something I learned in 2018. I think that has to be like one of my worst moments that I've ever had to experience. And one problem I faced was, I did not know how to talk. Like, I didn't know how to, like, tell my friends.
Oh, sir.
Like, help me. I'm breaking down. I wish, because then I would actually have an excuse. But no, but I just didn't know how to tell my friends. Like, I need help. Like, I'm dying here. I'm contemplating suicide. I'm doing a lot of things in my head. My head is not a good space. I didn't know how to do all of that. But I could always write about it. You know, I could always like go back to my diary and write, okay, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's making me cry right now. This is how confused in my head is. I eventually was able to speak with a couple of my friends,
Yeah.
There's one of my friends, a guy that I eventually got to speak to. And then he started telling his own story, like his own depression phase and all that. And I realized, you know what? Maybe everybody is just like going through the same thing.
Yes, all of us
are mad. But nobody really knows how to speak out. So we like, yeah, all of us are mad here, you know? We're all mad here. But everybody's trying to hide their madness.
I'm telling you.
And pretend that we are sane.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't remember the first thing I wrote. I can't really remember. But I just put it out and I was like, you know, this is me venting. See it. This is my own madness. This is me. Look at it. This is what it is. And maybe if you see me as I am, you'd maybe stop having... I think that was one thing I was like really fighting with. You know, everybody looking at me, like even till now, it still happens. Everyone looks at me like, or most people look at me and they see someone who has it all figured out, like someone with a plan, someone who is this, someone who is that.
I still see you.
You have the focus, you have the direction. But that's not true. That's not true. So I just figured maybe if I put my stories out there,
yeah,
everyone would see, you know. I'm on this day too, doesn't have her own shit figured out. She doesn't have her own thing. She's still struggling with her own stuff. We're all struggling here. So eventually I was able to like set up Medium as my venting space where, you know, I have another blog where I write about like, you know, the actual article thing, but like Medium is my venting space. That's what I call it now. Anything emotional that I'm going through that I can't really process, that I know that writing will help me process, and you know, I think someone will relate to, I just post on. Now that's just what it is. My venting space.
Anyway, I was going on about how when it comes to being vulnerable, yeah, that at times when I think of it personally, I'm like, oh, fuck, if I say this, if I say people start looking at me one kind, they start judging me. But the funny thing is that, like, when you put yourself out there, everybody sort of relates, everybody connects with it, and they're like, oh, wow, I also go through this. And seeing somebody else going through, you empathize with somebody, yeah. Do you understand? And it's something that when I read your work, and I'm like, oh, wow, I never knew she was going through this. And it's something I really wish I could do more. I want to commend you. Is it commend? Or it's something that I'm really proud of. She's proud is the word. It's something I wish I could do, and I'm envious.
It's commend.
Yeah. Sorry. Like I told you, I'm not good with big words. Don't start bragging. Don't.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And let's move on. Another thing about your writing, obviously, if anybody reads anything you write or Okidi, is you can tell how knowledgeable, how intelligent you are. Because the way you put words together, come on. I even wanted to say that I used one of your write-ups, yeah?
Okay.
To prepare this whole thing. So,
okay.
You sort of inspired this, like, the write-up. I want to get the title, because I want to get the title of everything so that people, I can reference people back. How do I pronounce this? Because I'm going to butcher it. Osezwa's tips. Did I get that correct? Osezwa.
Oh yeah, Osezwa.
Osezwa's
tips.
Osezwa's tips. So that was, by the way, guys, that was a write-up you released earlier this year, and it was the first one of the year. And I remember I read it. And I applied it to this episode in preparing this interview. One of the tips. By the way, Osezwa, shout out to you. You seem like a very intelligent person.
Shout out to Osezwa. Definitely, I'll get into this one.
You seem like a very intelligent person. And the first tip, you like here, read on the subject, something I applied, studied before this, and act like it. I think that's the second one. I'm just saying this off my head because that's why I make sure when I'm telling you, act like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This entire episode, I was acting and I was pretending. I was like, okay, so how do you feel about this? And then you reply me, oh, yes, I can. So, yeah, aside from big shout out to you and big shout out to yourself, because you know we're applying these things already. Let's quickly move on. Let's quickly move on to the next talking point. What are some of the challenges you faced as a writer?
Number one, writer's block. That's one. Writer's block is one. I mean, there are times where I want to write. Last year, I told myself I was going to write at least one article every 2 weeks. But there were times where I could not even come up with words. I was just staring, or I would, like, I know I'm supposed to be writing. I know that this is the thing I'm supposed to be doing. I don't even have the mental power to do it. So I think the very first thing, the writer's block. Then the second one is me thinking, or me, like, okay, how do I put this down? It took a while for me to accept that, you know what, I'm actually good at writing. Like, writing about emotion, I'm actually good at that. It took a while for me to come to that. It actually took a while for me to come in terms with that. Because there were times where I would, like, finish reading and I'm like, especially when I write something that I feel, you know what, I poured my heart into this thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm seeing reactions and I'm seeing flaps and I'm like, wow, okay? Okay, does that mean this was bad? Does that mean, like, this wasn't good enough? I mean, what's happening? You know? Thoughts like that, yeah. But that's at my main. Yeah, that's pretty much those two. Me having to convince myself that you should actually write. And, you know, the writer's block. When I want to write and I don't have what to write.
I mean, I relate 100% to that. I'm not a writer or whatever, but also when I'm trying to come up with, I'm a writer, because I have to write this episode. That's what some people don't realize, that my head is all over the place. If I switch on mic and just start recording, I'll waste time rambling or whatever. But I wouldn't say writer's block or whatever. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when I switch on my mic to try to record, my ideas just, everywhere is just oof. And for, like, I'm telling you, some 2 days, 3 days, I can't record, because it's there, but I can't just put it down in a way that makes sense.
Like, so, creativity block.
Yeah, I can relate to that. And about not getting the necessary feedback, that makes sense, because it happens to me too. You put in effort, you put an episode out there, then the amount of listens, you're like, oh my, where did I go wrong? And then sometimes when you didn't put as much effort into some work, those ones get more
to blow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I should not put in. But anyways, I think we all can relate to that. One advice I have for you is, one wise person once said, are you listening? Listen to this point.
I'm listening. Yeah, sure.
Get your pen. You can jot this down.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, so, I'm getting my pen. I'm ready.
Yeah, the first thing said, if I wrote down all my stories and conversations with myself, I would be legendary. Instead, I think more than I read, and I read more than I write. So yeah, that is
basically, that person is so wise.
I'm telling you. No, wait. That is not wiser than me. But if you guys don't get the joke, she was the one that wrote it, by the way. So but anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about the successes you enjoyed. If we talk about challenges, let's talk about the successes you've enjoyed as a writer.
Okay. I think the first biggest that I would ever classify as a success is when I write something on my Medium.
Yeah.
And someone comes to me on WhatsApp and says, like, I relate 100%. Like, thank you for writing about this. This is how I feel about this. This is my thought. This is what I'm going through. And then I've had a hard time trying to figure this out. In that space, in that moment, I feel blessed. I think that's the word I can use. I feel blessed, because that is why I write.
That is the whole reason why I write, to be able to relate to this person. And let this person know, you know what, you're not alone in what you're going through. Mm. So having to achieve that, it makes me like, I might not yet be a best-selling author, but
it's now just the best. No, my dear, don't say that. Don't say that. Come off it. Come off it.
I said yes.
No, I said yes.
I might not be a best-selling author yet.
See, you're a bestseller, my dear. You're a bestseller. What are you talking about? Even if you have not put the book out, you're a bestseller.
Okay, let me rephrase. Yes. I might be a best-selling author in the future.
No. They have not just see. It's people's fault for not having bought your book yet. It's their fault. It's not yours.
I know, right? It's their fault.
Yeah.
They should come and read it in my head make me the best friend ever,
you,
right?
You already, yes. I mean, it's only fair.
Okay. You've all heard from me. Come into my head and come and read my book and make me the best selling author.
Make yourself the best.
Give me my flowers.
Make yourself the reader of a best selling author.
Give me my flowers.
Make yourself the reader of a best selling. Why are you? You know what? Hey, yeah, sorry. Let's go on. Go on.
Oh my god.
Go on.
No, that's fine. So I think that's the next best feeling. I remember the one time I had one of my poems published. I was like, what? You actually like this? You like this enough to put it on your website? Oh my God. Yes, sir. Having my work out there online on another person's page, you know, having someone refer, like having to see people repost my poems whenever I upload them, having someone, you know, send a comment and saying, this is really nice, I relate to this, I understand what you're saying, this is my own opinion. Those, I would count those as success so far in my writing.
Is that all? You didn't mention your appearance on a certain...
And this one. This one, nice. Come on, this one is part of... you are putting me on your own podcast. Like, people are going to hear about my writing. Definitely people are going to come and check it out. Hey, I feel honored, man. I feel... Oh,
I'm glad I didn't.
I'm blushing.
I'm glad I didn't.
Internally and externally, you can't see through my dark skin, but I'm blushing.
I'm glad you came up with that on your own, and I didn't have to pressure you to say that. Anyhow, like I'm telling you, there is no greater feeling. Anyway, there is. There are greater feelings, but there's not many greater feelings than having like people tell you how good or. Like today, like this week, I was having a rough week and I opened my Twitter and I saw somebody like tweeting at me and like, oh, I'm a big fan. I was like, oh, you don't know how much this comment or how this little thing just drives me to do more.
I know, right?
And all of that. So, yeah, it's... All right, so let's just move on to the next point. Let's just move on. What are your current and future projects? You know, just give us the little... little teaser into what you're working on now and what you or what you intend to work on in the future.
All right, I'm thinking about writing a book, a poetry collection. Hopefully I should have it ready by the end of the year, but that's one of the major things I'm working on right now. Okay. But in the meantime, it's just, you know, to try to keep writing, at least have an article on Medium every week or every other week. But just that, you know, to keep writing and then have my book by the end of the year, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Okay, well, at least I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are too. By the way, can I make a request? Do you understand? I wrote a little one piece for your poetry collection. So let me just quickly perform it.
Okay.
Fumi.
Okay.
Listen. Fumi. L-O-L-A. Known from the coast of Lagos to L.A. That's all. That's all I have so far, but...
Okay.
That's all I have so far, but...
All right.
You know, just a little teaser.
For me, LOLA. No, from the coast of Vegas to LA. Very nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can add that. I give you permission to use that. You can use that if you want. But anyways, let's move on. Do you have any advice?
Sure, definitely. I will.
Do you have any advice for aspiring writers or storytellers?
Oh my God, you make it sound like I am like one accomplished person, which is nice. Thank
stop
you very
this.
Much.
Stop. I thought we addressed
all
this.
Of us. Please, let me speak.
All right, go on.
So to all of us who are still, you know, trying to find our feet and trying to find our standing in the world of, you know, writing, poems and short stories and whatnot, all I have to say is just write. Like, if it comes to your mind, don't beat yourself up thinking, oh my God, it's not going to be good, oh my God, how are people going to receive it, oh my God, how is it going to be. Just write, keep writing. Even on days when you don't feel like writing, push yourself to write. So long as it gives you joy, so long as that is what is your passion, just do it. Like, keep focusing on that passion, that dream, that satisfaction you get from doing what you're doing, and just write. That's it.
I mean, that's it, guys. You've heard it. Just do. Practice. Like they say, practice makes perfect. If you don't keep trying, you wouldn't improve. Do you understand? So, yeah. Okay, I guess that's pretty much anything. Are there any, should I say, like, closing remarks or anything you want to say?
No, not really. Oh yeah, and because I'm going to try to get, you know, my own people on my contact list to listen to this podcast, all I want to say is, I mean, you can already hear Fumi is an amazing person, so try and listen to this podcast often. And a big shout out to every person who reads my articles, who reads my poems. I love you guys so much. You have, like, you people give me so much joy. On days when I don't feel like going on, you, like, I remember, you know, these people like what I write, and I just, people are the real MVPs. Like, I love you guys so much.
That's so cute. All right. So, before we go, where can our audience find you? Your socials, everything. Just, you know.
Okay. On Instagram, I'm Ose_Andrea. Ose, OSE_ANDREA. On Twitter, also Ose_Andrea. same_ and all that. And on Facebook, it's just Ose_Andrea. No_, just Ose_Andrea. It's Ose_Andrea everywhere.
All right. So, what about where we can find, if anybody's interested in reading your poems, your write-ups?
Okay, on poetry, most of them used to be on Instagram, but I took them down. Probably have to put them back up again, or I find a way to arrange them again. I'm still working on my Instagram page. Okay, on Medium, you can find me at medium.com/OseIcicle. That's where I write most of my articles. So also, I write articles like book reviews, where I discuss books on another blog of mine. AndreaIcicle.wordpress.com. It's Andrea, then Icicle, like ice, you know?
I understand.
So you have AndreaIcicle, and that's that.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, everything, all the links will be down in the description. Make sure to check out Ose's work. And Ose, I really thank you for being here. I appreciate it, even though you're busy.
It was my absolute pleasure.
Oh, yeah, thank you for joining us. And see you guys later. Bye. Make sure you're following the podcast on Twitter at @MafejoPamiPod. And follow the podcast on Instagram at, you guessed it, @MafejoPamiPod. If you listened up to this point, you're a what? You're a rock star. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please, they help a lot. So please subscribe, share the podcast to as many people as you can. Make sure to stay jiggy, drink water, mind your business, but most importantly, Mafejo Pamipod.